Blog Talk Radio.
Tackling the pitching category in fantasy baseball is a huge undertaking, but as a living legend, and
Dad, I'm such a genius.
Then it's a piece of cake for me. But I think at this point, everyone knows that Clayton Kershaw is a great pitcher in both fantasy and in reality, and there's no need to make like Casey Kasem and do a countdown of the top pitchers in baseball. But instead, I think it would be more interesting to focus on the outliers. Let's talk about the guys who had a breakout year last season, or maybe we can talk about the guy who was supposed to have his breakout year in 2014 but didn't. I mean, let's talk about some guys who changed pitching addresses and if that's going to help or hurt them in the upcoming season. How about the guys who are going to be free agents next year on our pitching for a new contract? What about the guys who got hurt last year and are coming off a long-term injury? Do you draft them and stash them? I mean, do we need to really talk about King Felix and Madison Bumgarner today? I mean, everyone already knows that
they're great.
That's right, Tony. Let's instead turn our attention to the fringe guys, the guys that are sneaky good, the guys that in the middle of the season people in your fantasy league are going to be scratching their heads about and trying to figure out how the heck you knew enough to draft them. Let's figure out where these guys belong on your draft day cheat sheets. Let's figure out where they belong on your team. I am the living legend, Joe Gallina, and this is one of the most valuable shows that I will present to you this season. I am all pumped up for this show. Let's break down the fantasy baseball starting pitching category. It's just a fantasy sports show. Starts right now. Okay, so as you regular listeners to the show know, this show is pre-taped. Today's show was taped on March 1st, finished up on March 2nd, and since spring training camps are open for business going forward, I want to give you little tidbits and news about what's been going on in camps during the previous week. So let's start with Matt Latos, former Red and current Miami Marlin. He's been complaining about his old team and how they rushed him back from knee surgery, and he also said that they had rushed Jay Bruce and Joey Votto back from injuries as well. As a fantasy baseball owner, will Latos's opinion and comments make you think twice about drafting a Cincinnati Red? By the way, Latos starts coming off the board somewhere around the 12th round, just in case you wanted to know. The Cardinals were given a scare this week when their ace Adam Wainwright was complaining about abdominal pain. Cards were worried that in the worst case scenario, he would need core muscle surgery, just like Justin Verlander had last season. But lucky for them, doctors prescribed 2 weeks of rest, and that's a heck of a lot better than having to endure surgery. He's been coming off the board in the third or fourth round of most leagues, but let's watch him closely before we make that kind of a commitment. But we'll talk about him a little bit later. Toronto Blue Jay outfielder Michael Saunders was shagging fly balls in the outfield, and apparently his knee buckled on a patch of grass that was extra soft because of a water sprinkler. His teammates did try to warn him. I mean, they called out his name. They said,
Mike.
Watch out! But hey, I guess it was too late. He didn't hear him. He tore his meniscus, and he's going to be out until after the All-Star break. The day before that, ironically, L.A. Dodger outfielder Andre Ethier approached the Dodgers, and he said, hey, either play me or trade me. He wants to start every day. So the Jays need an outfielder. The Dodgers still have a surplus of outfielders. Why not make a trade? You feeling me on this one? Well, we'll see what happens. Chris Sale, co-White Sox ace, along with Jeff Samardzija, fractured his foot over the weekend. I think it was announced on Saturday. Most accidents do happen in the home, and so did Sales' accident. So, Chris Sale and everyone else,
let's be careful out here.
Sale is expected to miss 3 weeks, and that could set him back to the point that he won't be available for opening day. He had been a second-round pick in early preseason drafts. Of course, other than the A-Rod circus, he took some grounders at first base. The big news this week was Josh Hamilton, outfielder for the Angels, suffered a relapse and has succumbed to his demons. The living legend wishes him the best. And once Hamilton could put all this behind him, maybe they could make a fancy TV movie about his life. And the person that I would get to play him would be Will Ferrell. I don't mean to make light of his situation, but every time I see Hamilton's face flash across either a TV or computer screen, the first person I think of is Will Ferrell. Again, all our best to Josh Hamilton. Hope he's back on the field soon. Also, a quick aside, Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock, you thank God you did live long and prosper, but R.I.P., buddy, R.I.P.
From far beyond the galaxies, I've journeyed to this place to study the behavior patterns of the human race. And I find them highly illogical.
Yes, humans, and especially fantasy baseball owners, can be illogical. But let's try to straighten some of them out with our fantasy baseball draft tip of the week. Now, the game of baseball is constantly evolving. And it's common knowledge that the live ball steroid era is behind us. You know that batters used to have the upper hand against pitchers. Just think about Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, that era. But that has changed big time. For instance, in 2006, the overall league batting average was .269. And by last season, that's just a period of 9 years, the league's overall batting average had dropped in every season until it had finally rested at .251 last year. For that reason, my fantasy baseball tip of the week to you is that unless you have the chance to pick up a Clayton Kershaw or a King Felix, I would wait a few rounds before you start drafting your starting pitching. I'm going to show you that there's plenty of valuable pitchers available in the later rounds of your draft. Now, having said that, two very prominent pitchers, Adam Wainwright and Chris Sale, who I alluded to a couple minutes ago, they're going to be missing some time. So if this spring becomes a disaster and another bunch of pitchers become sidelined and require Tommy John surgery, you might want to modify that strategy a bit. But also keep in mind that pitching is more valuable in head-to-head leagues, and starting pitchers are going to start to come off the board a bit earlier than in standard leagues when you're playing in a head-to-head league. But I'm going to stand by my initial draft tip. There's plenty of starting pitching available, and you'll see what I'm talking about shortly, where you could wait until maybe the fifth or sixth rounds of your draft before making a pitching selection. One other thing to remember is that on draft day, your decisions can affect the whole complexion of your draft. I mean, if you're consistently picking off top offensive players off of your league's board, people in your league, they're going to feel the pressure. They're going to feel they have to follow you. For instance, I'm sure you've been in a draft where once the best closer or two gets drafted, all of a sudden everyone in your league wakes up and desperately tries to fill their closer spot as quickly as possible. Simply put, there is plenty of starting pitching out there. There will be more on the waiver wire as the season progresses. Focus on your offense and home run power in the earlier rounds. And that, my friend, is the Living Legends Fantasy Baseball Tip of the Week. That's right. School is out for this week, and we're going to move on. Just to let you know, when the Living Legend tells you where a particular player is being drafted, the round that I'm telling you, that is based on estimates for a typical 12-team Yahoo-type standard league, okay? So as I alluded to earlier, 2014 is going to be remembered as the baseball season of the Tommy John surgery. In trying to figure out why so many pitchers have had to have the surgery, experts bring up the fact that so many of today's young hurlers are throwing so much harder than back in the day. Everyone's working out from such an early age, and athletes are just stronger today than, let's say, the 70s or the 80s. Others point out that pitchers are just putting so much extra mileage on their elbows as they're being overworked, starting way back in Little League. I mean, experts recommend that amateurs rest their arms for at least 3 months between seasons. But with all the showcasing going on in the fall leagues, kids, they're just pitching year-round. So I guess the good news is that in many cases, once a pitcher does have to have Tommy John surgery and goes through the year-plus of rehab, a lot of them are able to pitch just as well as they did before they had to have the surgery. So they're not losing much. That being said, let's hope that 2015 is a better year for young pitchers, and there's going to be fewer Tommy John surgeries for everyone. And let's begin our analysis of starting pitching in the great old city of
New York.
Sounds good, Mr. Sinatra. That's right. The city that never sleeps, the city so great, they had to name it twice. And in reality, it's a good thing they named it twice for fantasy baseball purposes. Because in the Living Legends, not so humble opinion, you've got two baseball teams. And when it comes to starting pitching, it truly is a tale of two cities. Let's start with the good. So whenever you hear a discussion about starting pitching, whether it's on TV or radio, or if you read an article online or in a newspaper or magazine, all you hear about is how good the Met pitching staff is. And you know what?
What?
On paper, they are very good. I mean, a couple of them, Jacob deGrom and John Neese, actually helped the Living Legends fantasy baseball team immensely last season. If you want to know just how good deGrom is, go to rotoballer.com, rotoballer.com. Look for my article detailing how he came out of nowhere and used his three-pitch combination of 90-plus conventional and two-seam fastballs. And occasionally he mixed in a hard cutter, slider, curve, nasty changeup. The reigning NL Rookie of the Year strikeout pitcher is being drafted somewhere around 9th or 10th rounds of 12-team leagues, like I said. Here and there, he's getting drafted earlier, but I think he's going to have another fine year, and this might be the last season that you're going to be able to draft him that late. All right, let's move on and talk about Matt Harvey.
Harvey? Oh, Harvey!
Yes, we're going to talk about Matt Harvey. Now, Met fans have been waiting on the edge of their seats since 2013 for the return of their future ace, Matt Harvey, who has had success in the major leagues, but unfortunately had to undergo Tommy John surgery. He did get off to a great start in his major league career, having pitched to a 2.39 ERA in his first 36 career major league starts, showing some real good control with a 9.88 K through 9 rating, along with a 2.16 walk per 9-inning rate. On average, he's coming off the board in the 7th round. That's a bit ambitious for the Living Legend, but you know, we do pre-tape this show. We're taping it on March 1st and March 2nd, and Harvey doesn't make his spring debut until March 6th. Look, many pitchers pitch very well upon their return from Tommy John surgery, and the Mets do expect him to be in their rotation on opening day, which is probably doable, but don't kid yourself, Harvey's innings will be limited in 2015, and he's going to have to deal with a little bit of rust, so don't draft him thinking that he's going to be your number two fantasy pitcher. Let's go cross town to the Bronx. Okay, the Living Legend told you that New York is a tale of two cities. Let's move over to the Yankee situation. And unfortunately, it's pretty grim. I think they're going to have a tough year. But let's take a look at Masahiro Tanaka. I picked him up in the 16th round last season of my draft. He was truly amazing. He had a phenomenal swinging strike rate, great control. But in early July, he suffered a partially torn elbow ligament, and instead of opting for Tommy John surgery to repair it, he and the Yankees chose to rehab the ligament. And on average, he's getting picked up beginning in the 9th round, and I'll tell you, the Living Legend would not consider drafting him at all this season because of the course of action that the Yankees and Tanaka took last year in the treatment of his torn ligament. Eventually, this guy's going to need Tommy John surgery. They just procrastinated. He's just too risky. Look, it was an event every time he took the mound last season, but you need players that can help you win fantasy championships on your roster. And like I said, it's just a matter of time before he's going to need that surgery, so stay away. And now on to the pitcher who made
Cap'n Crunch is a crunchy sweet part of a good breakfast.
Who am I talking about? CC Sabathia, of course. Sabathia used to be an ace, but tons of innings have taken their toll on his arm and robbed him of his once feared velocity. His 2014 season ended early when he had to have surgery on his knee, and now he has intentionally come into spring training camp at about 305 pounds, which is 15 pounds heavier than he was when we last saw him last season. Remember, he had lost a ton of weight by limiting the number of boxes. That's right, I said boxes of Captain Crunch cereal he would eat for breakfast. Maybe he is just one of those guys like a Pablo Sandoval who play better when they're heavier. I don't know. He just says that putting some of that weight back on is going to help him with his balance. He's getting drafted real late. So in the Living Legend's opinion, he's a train wreck. Stay away. But, you know, keep an eye on him in spring training, but stay away. All right, let's move on to a pitcher who found his way once he got out of the Bronx.
Coming,
All right, we're talking about Phil Hughes, who really came into his own when he left the Bronx. What a season he had last season. He revamped his pitching style. Basically, he got things done. He actually set the all-time record for strikeout-to-walk ratio with 11.63. He started using his four-seamer more. He reintroduced his cutter to his repertoire, stopped throwing his slider, and you can't argue with the results. His ground balls were up, fly balls were down, and the percentage of fly balls that left the stadium took a big downturn. Look, you expect a bit of regression from him last season, but he still should have a very good year, and especially coming in the 13th or 14th round of your draft, he's very valuable. All right, let's turn our thoughts to that warm California sun. So many of us are dreaming of that California-type weather. It's just been a miserable winter for so many people up in Boston, all across the Northeast, as far south as Atlanta and in the Carolinas. Everyone seems to be suffering from a bad winter, but don't worry, opening day is right around the corner. Let's think about San Diego, right? San Diego sure did make a lot of moves this offseason, and one of my favorites was the recent signing of James Shields. I always love it when a career American League pitcher makes a move to the NL. He gets that automatic boost to his ERA. I also love the fact that Shields moves from one pitcher's park to another pitcher's park. It's basically just as hard to hit a home run in Petco Park in San Diego as it is to hit a home run in Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. Lastly, I love the fact that Shields basically gets to come home. He's from California, and he gets to pitch for the team that he wanted to sign with. And it doesn't hurt that that team, the Padres, has made some major moves this offseason that should help to make them a lot more competitive. Shields should start to come off the board around the seventh round, and I'm optimistic that he's going to adapt very well to pitching in Southern California, predicting 14 wins for him, maybe a 3.1 ERA. Just an aside, since we're talking about San Diego starting pitching, you're going to want to consider Ian Kennedy. He's a very good pitcher who could be had in the 16th round, and he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. So you know he's going to be really trying hard this year to pitch well. This way he can get a great, expensive, shiny new contract for 2016. At 31 years old, he's still in his prime, and I'm expecting big things from him. Keep him in your sights. Let's move from talking about someone like Shields, who left the Kansas City Royals, to someone that James Shields left behind. I'm referring to young fireballer Yordano Ventura, who has eclipsed 100 miles per hour on the radar gun, regularly upper 90s. He could be yours beginning somewhere around the 13th round. He's got some good things going for him, like an above-average swinging strikes per pitch rate and a low home run to fly ball ratio. He's got to keep the walks in check, but the good news is that he just doesn't rely on the heat. He uses his cutter, change, and curveball to keep batters guessing. He did give the living legend and other fantasy baseball owners a bit of a scare last season when he had some minor elbow issues, but he seems healthy to start the 2015 season and is definitely valuable as a 13th round pick. And like I said, he plays for the Kansas City, where he gets to pitch half his games in a very good pitcher's park. All right, so let's say you're all set to draft Ventura, but as happens all too often when you're in the middle of a draft, the guy or gal who picks before you scoops him up. Well, then, my friend, who are you going to turn to? How about Carlos Carrasco? He put it all together late last season in 78.2 innings. He pitched after the All-Star break. His ERA was 1.72, and he had an 86-14 strikeout-to-walk ratio. He induced hitters to hit fewer line drives, and we all know that line drives are more likely to fall in for hits, so fewer line drives is very good. Opposing batters hit more ground balls against them, and he lowered his home run to fly ball ratio. 2 years after having Tommy John surgery, he got his velocity back up to 95 miles per hour. He also has a bunch of tools at his disposal, including a slider, curveball, and change, which he uses effectively to keep hitters at bay. This guy had a .99 whip and a swinging strike rate that was just off the charts. He is valuable, and he's a sleeper pick, all rolled into one, Carlos Carrasco. Moving on, let's go north of the border to Marcus Stroman. He's another pitcher who had a strong second half. At 23 years of age, he responded well once the Blue Jays moved him into their starting rotation on May 31st. After a tough start to his season, he settled down, and he pitched to a 3.3 ERA in the second half. Like I said, he struggled a bit in the first half with a 4.05 ERA. He was a better pitcher on the road. Balls flew out of Rogers Center in Toronto at the third highest rate of any stadium in the majors, so not too surprising. And yet, Stroman, though, his home run to fly ball ratio was just 6.5, which is a full 3 points lower than the league average. He gave up ground balls at a much higher rate than the league average, which points to good times ahead and continued success. In most leagues, he starts to come off the board in the 14th round. Moving on. Are you going to focus on a Justin Verlander in the 12th round? Look, his ERA was his worst since 2008. His K-9 rate was way down. His velocity was way down. He claims that the effects of core muscle surgery were the root cause of his ineffectiveness. And in his defense, a pitcher does get a lot of that power from their core muscles. Remember how good this guy used to be? I mean, but the last season, his second half ERA of 3.97, while still un-Verlander-like, was way down from his 4.88 first half ERA. So maybe he wasn't fully recuperated from his surgery. Maybe he's got a good argument there, right? When the season started, he might have just not been himself. At 32 years of age, he has come into camp with 20 pounds of muscle packed onto his 6'5" frame. I don't know. Is he using P90X? Who knows? He's a competitor, and he knows that Max Scherzer, who's gone right now, right? He left the Tigers, and he knows that the Tigers are going to really need him. Watch him in spring training. Asking him to pitch as if it were 2011 might be a bit too much to ask. That was his real great year. I think he was 24-5 that season, Verlander was. But I expect him to have a bit of a bounce back season. All right, let's move down south, down to Texas, and take a look at their ace. Okay, so we're talking about Yu Darvish, and if what you need is strikeouts, I think this guy with his lifetime 11.2 K per nine rate has got what you need. I hear a lot of buzz about how fantasy owners are worried about drafting him after his injury scare last year, but his ADP still makes him a second or third round pick, and the worry warts think that he is an injury waiting to happen and that pitchers from Asia are overworked when it comes to their innings pitched. And well, we've already discussed about the possible increase in Tommy John surgeries in the U.S. because of our amateur pitchers working year round these days. Some other worry warts point to the fact that there's a slight variation in the size of the baseball used in Asia as opposed to the one used in the U.S. I don't know. The Rangers say he's healthy. I say we watch him in spring training, and if he truly is healthy and you draft him, he's going to be your strikeout machine. He did throw his fastball a lot more in 2014, and throwing the extra hard stuff could have contributed to his injury woes last season. The living legend thinks Darvish is going to be fine, but I'm not a doctor. Hey, do I pick him up in the second round where he's being drafted? Well, with all the pitching talent around and the need to build a solid fantasy offense in the early rounds of your draft, my answer is no. And a good example of why my answer is no is Henderson Alvarez, who could be had in the 20th round or later of many drafts. He throws a 94-mile-per-hour sinker, and opposing batters hit tons of ground balls against him. He's not going to help you out in the strikeout category, but he won't walk many batters either. His home run to fly ball ratio, while just average, has improved big time over the past few years. He's put together a nice season, 12-7, one-loss record with a 2.65 ERA. You can expect his ERA to rise a bit, maybe in the low threes, but for where you could pick him up, he could be a great value as a good back of the fantasy rotation, fantasy pitcher for you. Now, the living legend is confident that Pittsburgh Pirate Gerrit Cole, he's going to be due for a breakout season. And the fact that you might be able to pick him up in the ninth round of this year's draft just makes him hugely valuable. Yes, some are worried about him being able to stay healthy, but I don't see it as an issue. He ramped up his strikeouts. He struck out a batter per inning last season. Opposing batters were hitting fewer line drives against him. If you play in a dynasty league, this could be the last time that you could get him so cheaply, right? If you're looking for some real cheap options other than the ones I've already given you, how about a Kyle Lowe's, right? He's a decent option as maybe the last pitcher that you pick up for your fantasy team. He's also available after the 20th round. He's had four straight years with an ERA of 3.54 or lower. And in that same time, his whip hasn't been higher than 1.168. Want another one? Matt Garza. He has consistently pitched to a sub-4 ERA, and he won't kill your whip. He's been known to post maybe a 1.1 or a 1.2 whip, right? You don't need to draft him. Just know that he's out there, for you. And if you run into some bad luck with your fantasy team and need a guy as a fill-in for a week or two, just know that he's out there, right? Keep an eye out for San Francisco Giant Yusmeiro Petit. He's a guy who made some nice starts down the stretch for the Giants. He's a strikeout per inning guy. He's probably going to start working out of the Giant bullpen. But if he ever moves back into their starting rotation, he might surprise some people. One of my favorite sleeper picks, I love this guy, is Jesse Hahn. He plays for Oakland. He was traded for San Diego. Depending on the level of expertise or size of your league, he's either getting drafted after the 20th round or sometimes not at all. But I just love this guy. He has a strikeout per inning, ground ball-inducing stuff. I usually don't like when a pitcher moves from the NL to the AL, but he is pitching in the cavernous Oakland Coliseum. He's young. He's got upside. Draft him or pick him up, and you'll thank me later. The A's have a way of finding diamonds in the rough, right? Remember Sonny Gray, Scott Kazmir, Jesse Chavez, Drew Pomeranz from last season. These guys came out of nowhere. He's going to follow, meaning Jesse Hahn, he's going to follow in that long line of effective starting pitchers. All right, so we've spoken about 18 different pitchers, and we could go on and on and on, but I know you're busy. And here's a few more quick hits from the living legend looking for even more value. Look at Doug Fister in the 12th round, Michael Pineda, available in the 18th round, Tanner Roark from the Nationals, also 18th round, James Paxton, who I'm very high on, he's available sometimes all the way up to the 20th round this season. I think this is going to be his year. Oh, and don't forget, Jose Fernandez may be back from Tommy John surgery somewhere around the middle of June. A lot of people haven't forgotten because he's being drafted in the 15th round of most preseason drafts. If he could just shake off some of that rust, and the Marlins, who have made a lot of moves to improve themselves this offseason, if they're still in it come September, he could help someone not only win a fantasy championship, but he could help the Marlins through the playoffs in reality baseball as well. So that brings us to the end of our analysis of the starting pitching position. I wanted to take a little unorthodox approach to our discussion. You know, in previous weeks, we had ranked each player, but there's just too many pitchers to just rank. And then for me to tell you, hey, look, I want you to pick up Kershaw and Wainwright and Scherzer. I mean, you know that there's some awesome pitchers out there. I wanted to focus on the pitchers that you might have forgotten about, those on the fringe, right? Hopefully I've been able to show you just how much talent there is among today's starters. Think outside the box. Like I said, Kershaw and King Felix, they're awesome, but you don't necessarily need them to win a fantasy championship this season. Plenty of pitching firepower available in the middle rounds of your drafts. There's just so many guys we didn't even talk about. What about Jordan Zimmermann? Excellent pitcher, available after the fifth round, and he'll be pitching his heart out for a brand new expensive contract. Do your homework.
Okay, it's all right.
Good. Well, I hope you enjoyed our show. Next week, we'll take a look at what's brewing in the bullpen and catch up on all the latest developments from around baseball spring training camps. Week one has been very busy already. Reach out to me on Twitter if you have any comments about our show. I am also there for you if you need any advice regarding your league's draft or if you have any trade questions. Remember, I especially want to hear from you. If you don't like the show, who knows, maybe I'll feature your comment or question on the podcast. My Twitter handle is at Joe Gallina, at J-O-E-G-A-L-L-I-N-A. Please visit rotoballer.com, R-O-T-O-B-A-L-L-E-R.com. I'm one of the writers for the site. We've got great new content being updated every single day. We've got preseason premium package that's going to help you prepare for your draft. Don't forget those live chat rooms. Log in, chat with your peers, vent about your league, get draft and trade advice from live rotoballer experts. Those chat rooms really are amazing. They are truly a great resource for the fantasy sport nut like myself and maybe you. I also need you to visit organicvibrations.com. They're a great site featuring the best in pure organic food and product, and they have some of the lowest shipping costs on the internet. Free shipping if your order is $100 or more. They've got lots of great content on their Facebook page. Check it out and make sure to like it. Thank you to all our guests. Wile E. Coyote, he is really one smart guy. The chairman of the board, Ralph Cramden and Ed Norton stopped by. Captain Crunch, Diana Ross, the Mamas and the Papas, Biz Markie, Lord, Tony the Tiger, and the Mamas and Papas. Sorry if I missed anyone, but I really need to slam the lid on things for today. But before I do, I want to remind you to keep moving straight ahead, and all of your fantasies will become realities. This is the Living Legend, Joe Galina. Thanks for listening to It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show. Tell all your friends and neighbors to listen in as well. We'll talk again next week.